الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في الأمانة والخيانة فيها وتفسير الأمانة The chapter with regards to that which has come about the أمانة and the خيانة with regards to that The chapter clarifying the issue related to al-amana, which is the trust, and likewise with regards to betraying that trust and the interpretation of al-amana, the interpretation of the amana, which is the trust. The author he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى in the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا That indeed Allah, He commands you to render back the trust to those whom they are due. That indeed Allah, He orders you to render back the trust and to repay that and to return that properly and to fulfill that in the correct manner and to render back those trusts to those who deserve that. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered. He has ordered that the trust that must be rendered back to those whom deserve that. Yani they have their right to that. And it has been collected by Abi Dawood from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified this affair. And he mentioned, أَدِّ الْأَمَانَةَ أَدِّ الْأَمَانَةَ لِمَنْ اتَّمَنَكَ وَلَا تَخُنْ مَنْ خَانَكَ That you must return the trust back to the one who has trusted you. And you must not betray those who betray you. And that you must not betray those who betray you. So the obligation of fulfilling the amana and being trustworthy with regards to that is in every circumstance, in every situation. And it's never allowed to act in a manner of treachery with regards to that. Even if a person had acted in a manner of treachery against someone and they had an amana along with them, it's not allowed to act treacherous in return in the same manner. And the greatest example that we have with regards to this is in our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and before al-Islam and before he began to call the people to Tawheed and to warn them from shirk, he was known as Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful and trustworthy. This was from his traits. And his tribesmen, they used to keep their valuables. A number of them would keep their valuables with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would entrust them to him for safekeeping. And he would have them in his home sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they knew that they would be safe there. And then nothing would happen to them there because he's so trustworthy and reliable. And he would protect them for them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even after he had become a messenger and prophet, and he had tried to call them to the good that he knows, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and warn them from the evil that they were upon and that fell away. They harmed him and his companions, radiallahu anhum, and then even they're plotting to murder him and to kill him in his home. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he fled for his life, making hijrah. Those wada'i were still with him. A number of those trusts that they had left and that property of his enemies now, from his tribesmen, they were still with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he ordered Ali, radiallahu anhu, to stay back in his house in order to return all of those trusts to those individuals whom deserve that and to whom those affairs belong to. And this is from the highest level of being trustworthy and being reliable, and the application of the likes of this narration, أدي الأمانة لمن اتمنك ولا تخون من خانك, that you must perform the trust and return that back to those who deserve it. And if the one who has entrusted you with something, you must fulfill that trust. You must fulfill that trust, and you must not betray that, even if they betray you. What is intended in the likes of this narration? And Allah knows best as well in this verse here that the author he began with, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا Then indeed Allah, He commands you to render back the trust to those whom deserve it. This is with regards to the trust between the people and the covenants between the people. The trust and the covenants between the people. Many times it will be with regards to property and with regards to wealth. And it could even be with regards to secrets or even with regards to contracts. So on and so forth, that these are trusts that people take amongst each other. that maybe one will, he will leave some valuable property with another one, or he will loan him some wealth, or he will benefit him in a particular manner, or they will have an agreement between each other. They will have an agreement between each other. And these agreements and these trusts here and these oaths here, these affairs, they must be fulfilled. They must be fulfilled. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, إِذَا حَدَّثَكَ رَجُلٌ فَالْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً. إِذَا حَدَّثَكَ رَجُلٌ فَالْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً. That if a man he speaks to you or he narrates to you, tells you something, and he looks left and right to see if anybody else is listening, then this is a trust. Then this is a trust that cannot be betrayed. It cannot be betrayed. The secrets, they're a trust. And these affairs like this, they're a trust. Even the people of knowledge mentioned that if a person, if his neighbor, some property from his neighbor, for example, the wind blew a garment from his neighbor into his property, it's a trust, it's an amana that he returned that back to his neighbor, and that he does not violate that or use that without right. This is something that is all included here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That indeed Allah, he orders you to return the trust and render them back to those who deserve it. But many times the people, they may think that this is what is intended by amana only, or simply this is any of the interpretation of that. But in reality, the amana is something greater. And this is only a portion of that interpretation. This is only something that is included in the proper understanding of the word amana. And the author, he is referring to this affair, yani, and mentioning the verse that follows this, yani, from Surah Al-Ahzab. And in reality, al-amana is everything. Is the entire religion. The whole religion is considered an amana. And the greatest amana is the shahadatan, that they must be fulfilled. That this covenant, it must be upheld. The amana of the shahadatain, amana to shahadatain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken with his believers specifically, and blessed them and favored them with that they have believed and they have faith in their hearts, and they believe in Allah and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone with no partners, and that they believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they testify that he's the slave and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatest amana, and likewise the greatest favor and greatest blessing, that one he must show thanks to, and he must perform that trust properly and strive against his soul to not be negligent with regards to this trust in any manner whatsoever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate for us and to make us truthful and from those who show thanks and return this trust properly, the trust of al-Islam and the guidance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this must be fulfilled. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that indeed we have presented the amana to, or offered the amana to the heavens and to the earth and to the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَيَحْمِلْنَهَا. And they declined to bear this trust. That Allah, he offered the amana. This is an offer, not something that was an obligation or something that was mandatory, but rather it was an offer. The heavens and the earth and the mountains, they were offered to bear this amana. And what is intended here by the amana is the moral responsibility and all of the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon the human being. And at the head of that, establishing the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and the following of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the rest of the actions of obedience, from fulfilling the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions, and likewise the trusts and the contracts and the dealings that one has with the rest of the people. All of this, yani, meaning the accountability in this life and the hereafter. This was offered to the heavens and the earth and to the mountains, meaning that they had the opportunity to take this. If they fulfilled the trust, they have the great promise of the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise and the hereafter. And if they fulfill, and if they fail to fulfill that trust, or they fall negligent in that, then they have the threat of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَأَبَيْنَا يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا. But the heavens and the earth, they declined to bear this, and they felt pity from this, yani, out of fear of being negligent and falling short with regards to this. And Allah, He says, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. And indeed, the human being, he had taken on this trust. He had taken on this trust, meaning this covenant and this responsibility. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. And indeed, the human being is very oppressive to his own soul, and likewise ignorant with regards to the outcome of this affair. With regards to the outcome of this affair. So this is a proper interpretation of the amana in general, that it is all of the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon the people, that they must be fulfilled. And likewise, avoiding the prohibitions, along with the rights that the people have amongst each other. So based upon this, the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal is an amana. The tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, to single Him out alone in all actions of worship. To single Him out alone with hope and fear and love and trust and reliance in all actions of worship, this is an amana. It must not be violated. That no action of worship can be devoted or directed to anyone from the people. The heart must be directed to Allah Azza wa Jal in every action of worship, whether it's prayer, or whether it's fasting, or whether it's charity, or whether it's seeking knowledge, or whether it's teaching, or whether it's calling the people, or whether it's being kind to the parents, whatever the case may be, whether it's the wudu, whether it's the tahara, whether it's the ghusl from janaba, all of the actions of worship, they must be directed to Allah alone. This is the amanah. That person, he must perform them, hoping for the reward from Allah and nothing else. Hoping for the reward from Allah and not any worldly gain, not any worldly benefit, not any praise from the people. This is the first trust. You need to fulfill the covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal. And if one does that, then he will have the aid and the help and success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will guide him and direct them. And He will not take them to account for their shortcomings and their faults. Allah, He says, أوفوا بأهدي أوفي بأهديكم وإياي فارحبون. Fulfill your covenant with me and I will fulfill my covenant with you, and fear me. And fear me alone. So the one who fulfills the covenant of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he strives his best, to uphold this trust here, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will aid him. And Allah will help him. And Allah will facilitate for him. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal will not take him to account for his mistakes and his errors. He will pardon him and have mercy on him. This is the case. So this is the amana here. And many times, likewise, the amana is also referring to those affairs that are hidden from the obligations of the legislation, meaning being obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private. Even more emphasized. And the amana is, in general, all of the duties and all of the moral responsibilities and being honest and truthful in one's faith and fulfilling the obligations. This is called the amana. And this was offered to the heavens and the earth, and they declined that. And the human being has taken that on. This is what we're facing in our life, that we have to perform this amana. And this is the responsibility that we will look at. And this is what we will be held accountable for whenever we meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amana of fulfilling these duties and these obligations and performing them properly. The eyes are an amana. The ear is an amana. The heart is an amana. And all of this must be fulfilled according to that which Allah has legislated and made lawful for us. And with regards to performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibition specifically. It's a major affair. Truly, if you ponder and think of this issue of the amana, it's a major affair. And that's why the one who upholds that, he has a major reward. And he will be in the paradise. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will be pleased with him. And he'll never be angry with them again. And they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one they prostrated for in the unseen, the one they lowered their gaze for in the unseen. Meaning they could not see Allah in this life, but they lowered their gaze for him, and they fulfilled the obligations for him, and they avoided their prohibitions for him, and they repented to him truthfully and sincerely, seeking forgiveness for their sins. And the hereafter, Allah, he will be pleased with them, and he will never be angry with them again. And they will see their Lord, and he will speak to them, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And those who do not fulfill the trust, they fall short in that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, they're threatened with the opposite of that. That they will not see Allah. And Allah, He will not be pleased with them. Rather, He will be angry with them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a major affair. So the issues likewise that are from the affairs of the unseen, from the Islamic rites that must be performed, this is also highly emphasized with regards to being an amana. So we find for this reason a number of times the people of knowledge or some of the salaf, whenever they would interpretate this affair, they would say ghusl janabah, for example, is amana. And the wudu and the tahara is amana, because this is something that only a slave and Allah, he knows about. This is between Allah and this is between the slave and Allah Azza wa Jal. So this must be performed. But this is only one aspect of that. So a number of times these types of interpretations, they will be called tafsir al-shay bi ba'di afradihi, to interpretate something with any sum of its individual meanings or that which is included in that. But in reality, the amana is including the whole entire religion and all of the duties that that are upon us, all of the duties that are upon us. And then likewise included in the amana are the trusts and the contracts and the oaths that we take between each other, that we take between each other with regards to blood, and with regards to property, and with regards to honor and reputation, with regards to contracts, with regards to marriage and divorce. All of these affairs here, they're in amana, that we will be held accountable for. We will be held accountable for. And something that will clarify even greater the gravity of this affair is that we have been ordered to not betray the trust. We have been ordered likewise to not betray the trust. And the opposite of al-imana is al-khiyana. Al-amana ziddu al-khiyana. The opposite of al-amana, and the word amana in general, means to fulfill the trust. And the one who is amin, he is the one who is trustworthy, the one who is reliable. The one who is trustworthy and reliable, and the people are safe from him, from harming them in their blood, or in their body, physically, or in their wealth, in their property, or in their family, or in their reputation, in their honor, with their tongue, with their hand. The people are safe from him because he's trustworthy, because he's reliable. He's a good believer. So this person, he's fulfilling the amana. Contrary to that, opposite of that is al-khiyana, is betrayal, is treachery, violating the rights of the people. This is the opposite of that. And the one who performs that, he's called Kha'in. وَالْخِيَانَ مِنْ أَحَاسِ أَوْصَافِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And treachery and betrayal is from the most specific traits of the hypocrites. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has preceded in this work, the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned آيات المنافق ثلاثة, that the sign of a hypocrite are three, and from them, إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانٍ. If he's entrusted to something, he'll betray the trust. He'll betray the trust. So this is from the greatest traits and foul and lowly qualities of the hypocrites, to betray a person, to act in betrayal, to act in treachery, especially whenever a person, he made it apparent that he's going to be trustworthy, that he's going to be truthful, that he's going to be honest, that he can be trusted, that he is someone who is reliable. And then in his heart, he's hiding khiyana. In his heart, he's thinking differently. In his heart, he's thinking differently. Like those who testify and bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in their heart, they do not believe. But in their heart, they do not believe. They want something else. Or likewise, others who take covenants and contracts with their brothers, and in their heart, they know they will not fulfill that. They know they will not fulfill that. This is a foul way, any beginning in this manner like this, to make a promise or a trust and to go into a contract with somebody upon a truce and upon a general understanding, and to hide in one's heart, yani the al-ghish and betrayal and deception and trickery. Wal-iyadhu billah. But likewise, even if a person, he didn't have that in his heart in the beginning, and in the end he did not fulfill, this is called khiyana. This is called khiyana. Even if he entered into the promise, he entered into the contract, he entered into the dealing, he entered into the relationship, he made the condition, he agreed with the person about something, with money, or with property, or with honor, or with wealth, a contract of business, or a contract of trade, or a contract of peace, or a contract of marriage, so on and so forth. And then in the end, he did not fulfill that, he violated that, because of a shortcoming and a deficiency and a love for the worldly life and a preference for his own self over fulfilling the commandments and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is khiyana, and this is from the worst traits that a person could be described with. This is from the worst traits that a person could be described with. And after disbelief and the hypocrisy and the likes, al-khiyana, and the worst khiyana is the khiyana and the betrayal that one will do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, He says in His book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَتُخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O you who believe, addressing the believers by name of faith, meaning that this is something very serious, pay attention. This is something very serious, pay attention. لَا تُخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. Do not betray Allah and His Messenger. Do not betray Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتُخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And betray your trust while you know. While you know, you need to betray the trust while you know that you betrayed it. While you know that you betrayed it. While you know you're going to be held accountable. While you know that you're wrong. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. With regards to this, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, a number of different interpretations, what it means what it means to betray Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he mentioned different evidences that happened in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam from narrations and events that occurred. And then in the end he said, well, that which is correct and Allah knows best is maqsood al-amana al-amma. What is intended here is the general trust. Any the general trust, it's that which has preceded. Any the general trust, any of fulfilling all of the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions and fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the creation as well. And Ibn Kathir, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala wal khiyanatu tu'ummu dhunuba al-sigar wal kibar al-lazima wal mutaaddiya. And so that we understand now the gravity of this affair. He said, "Wal khiyana, al-khiyana, to betray the trust." What is it, Allah? He said, "Do not betray Allah. Do not betray the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do not betray your trust while you know. Do not betray your trust while you know." Ibn Kathir, he says, "Al-khiyana, so to betray those trusts. Al-khiyana, what does it mean? Al-khiyana tu'ummu al-dhunuba al-sigar wal-kibar al-lazima wal-muta'adiyya." That betrayal here, it includes all of the sins, the minor and the major sins. This is an act of betrayal. Falling into sin and actions of disobedience, this is an act of betrayal. Whether it's a minor sin or a major sin, no doubt that major sins are even more greater and more severe. It's an act of betrayal. A person, he says, that I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Meaning I bear witness that Allah, He alone has the right to be worshipped, and that Allah, He alone has the right to be obeyed and submitted to and surrendered to with compliance, with obedience, with humbleness, with love and fear and trust and reliance. That Allah alone, He is the one who's worthy of submission. Willfully and obedience and compliance to His commandments, yani ta'a al-mutlaqa. In testifying that, he bears witness as well that he would do that. That he would do that, he would uphold that. It's a trust. It's a trust. And likewise, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, it's a covenant with Allah azza wa jalla, and a trust that you will follow Him and you will not disobey Him. That you will follow Him and that you will not disobey Him. That you will apply the commandments that He has ordered, and you will hope for the reward from Allah with regards to that. And you will avoid the prohibitions and stay away from that entirely, fearing the punishment of Allah azza wa jalla. This is a trust. And to violate that is called khiyana, waliyadu billah. To violate that is called khiyana, waliyadu billah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned about this. وَلَا تُخُنُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ. Do not betray your trust. Do not betray your trust. He says, أَمَانَةُ الْأَمَانِ أَلَّتِي أَتَمَنَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا الْعِبَادِ. This is the trust of the actions and deeds that Allah has entrusted the slaves to. And if the actions and the deeds, meaning the obligatory actions, meaning al-fara'id, the actions and deeds that Allah has entrusted the slaves to, from performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he says, وَلَا تَخُونُوا أَيْ لَا تَنْقُضُوهَا. وَلَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهَا وَلَا تَنْقُضُوهَا. Do not invalidate these trusts. Do not violate these trusts. And he uphold them and fulfill them. Uphold them and fulfill them. And he mentioned likewise in another narration, he says that the khiyana, al-khiyana here, the way that it will happen, بِتَرْكِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْتِكَابِ الْمَعْسِيَةِ. By leaving the sunnah, a person, he has committed betrayal, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. He betrayed the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after taking a covenant oath that he will follow him. And likewise, by falling into actions of disobedience, this is a type of khiyana, a type of betrayal. So these actions, they must be upheld and they must be performed properly. All of this is included here. This is what the author is intending here. Babu ma ja'a fil amanati wal khiyanati fiha wa tafsir al amana. And in the chapter with regards to what has come about the issue of the amana, the trust, and the khiyana with regards to the trust, and the betrayal and treachery with regards to that, and the interpretation of the trust. It's not simply a trust that somebody would leave something, some property with him for him to come back and get it later. This is one aspect of that. But in reality, it's something greater and something major. It includes the entire religion. So the author, he says, رَوَى الْبَيْحَقِي عَنْ إِبْنِ مَسُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُ قَالَ الْقَتْرُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الْأَمَانَةَ وَالدَّيْنِ. The author, he mentioned a narration that is collected by Al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, that he says, Al-Qatlu fi sabilillah. And he had them in qawli Ibn Mas'ud. So then it's called hadithun mawquf, ahsant. Naam, Al-Qatlu fi sabilillah yukafiru kulla shay, ila al-amanata wa-d-dain. Being killed in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla will expiate everything. What expiate everything except for the amana and the debt. And meaning that the reward of fighting the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal, any correctly and properly under the banner of a Muslim ruler, going to the correct legislative jihad and fighting with one's life properly and accordance to the way that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal until a person lost his soul in that path. This action here is very great. This action here is from the best of all deeds. And it's a means to expiate all of the sins, except for the amana, and except for the debt. And he indicating the gravity of this affair. So a person, he will fight for the sake of Allah until he loses his life on that path. Until he loses his life on that path. And this will expiate all of his sins for him, by the permission of Allah, except for the trust, and except for the debts. And the debts in reality is from, it's from the trust. It's from the trust. And so this is an indication of the gravity of this affair. Now he says, يُتَى بِالْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَإِنْ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ أَدِّ أَمَانَتَكَ فَيُقُولُ أَيْ رَبِّي كَيْفَ وَقَدْ ذَهَبَتِ الدُّنْيَا كَيْفَ وَقَدْ ذَهَبَتِ الدُّنْيَا. So he says now, رضي الله عنه, that a slave, a person, he will be brought on the day of resurrection, even if he was killed in the path of Allah. Even if he was killed in the path of Allah, even if he's considered rightfully a shaheed, and he's considered rightfully a shaheed, and this is the case here. I need to emphasize the gravity. He says, and it will be said to him, perform your trust, pay back the trust. Add the amanatak. Even if he died in the path of Allah, and it will be said to him, pay back the trust. So he's going to say, oh my Lord, how can I pay back the trust when the dunya is gone? The dunya went away. And the trust is finished. And maybe somebody, for example, had left some money with him, or left some property with him, or some covenant with him, or some oath with him, or some promise with him, and the likes like this. There's an amana between him and another person. There's an amana between him and another person. This amana is in the dunya. In the hereafter, the dunya, what happens to it? It's gone. ذهبت الدنيا في الآخرة. The wealth is gone. The money is gone. The property is gone. All of the worldly life is finished. Now the hereafter comes. So on the hereafter, he's saying, oh my Lord, how can I repay the trust now whenever the worldly life is finished? And all of the worldly life is gone. All of the worldly life is gone. So he says, radiallahu anhu, فَيُقَارُ انْطَلِقُوا بِهِ إِلَى الْهَاوِيَةِ. So it will be said to him, go take him to the Hawiyah. The Hawiyah is a name from the names of the hellfire. And the Al-Hawiyah. Al-Hawiyah, yani, is from those names of the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْهَوَى يَهْوِ بِصَاحِبِهَا إِلَى الْهَاوِيَةِ يَعْنِي وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The desires and the whims, they land a person in the hawiyah, yani, meaning in the hellfire, and the depths of the hellfire. Take him to the hellfire. This is what will be said to him. And he's a shaheed in the path of Allah. Take him to the hellfire. Because why? Because he didn't perform the trust. He violated that. So فَيَنْطَلِقُونَ بِهِ إِلَيْهَا. So they're taking him to the hellfire. فَتُمَثَّلُ لَهُ أَمَانَتُهُ كَهَيْئَتِهَا يَوْمَ دُفِئَتْ إِلَيْهِ. And the amana will be shown to him. And he will take form. He will see it. And it will be in the manner on the day that it was given to him. Meaning he will see the amana. And the same manner that it was given to him on the day that he accepted it. And the day that he agreed to take it. And meaning that the trust will come to him and he will see it in the same form that he knows whenever he received it. Whenever he received it. And then he says, فَيَرَاهَا وَيَعْرِفُهَا. Then he will see it and he will know it. فَيَهْوِي فِي أَثَرِهَا حَتَّى يُدْرِكَهَا. And he will fall. He will fall into the hellfire chasing after the amana. What did he say here? Pay back the amana. So how can I pay back the amana? The dunya is finished. So now it's to take him to the hellfire. Whenever he gets in the hellfire, the amana is shown for him. And the manner that he's seen it before. And then he starts to chase after it, following into the hellfire, chasing after the amana. Then he says, فَيَحْمِلُهَا عَلَى مَنْكِبِي. And he will, فَيُدْرِكُهَا. He will chase and fall after until he catches it. And then he will carry it on his shoulders. حَتَّى إِذَا ظَنَّ أَنُّهُ خَارِجٌ زَلَّتْ عَنْ مَنْكِبِهِ فَهُوَ يَحْوِي فِي أَثَرِهَا أَبَدَ الْعَابِدِينَ. That he will fall into the hellfire chasing after the amana until he catches it. And then he will carry it on his shoulders, and he will carry it until he thinks that he's going to leave the hellfire, and he's going to come out of the hellfire and repay the amana. And then it will fall back off his shoulders again, and he will continue to chase it in this manner, yani, for eternity. This would be the punishment. Yani, it's a humiliating punishment. Yani, and Allah, he mentioned that the people in the hellfire, they'll be punished, yani, a punishment that is considered adhabun muheen, of humiliation. A person, he's chasing after this amanah that he betrayed, and then he grabs it and he works hard all the way till he thinks he's safe and he's about to repay it, and then it will fall again and he will chase it again. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. It's been mentioned the likes of this in a number of different narrations that in the hellfire the people are punished in this manner. The one who told a lie, كِذْبَ, that went to the horizons. He told one lie. In the hellfire, there's a man standing over him with a hook in his hand, an iron hook in his hand, and he will rip his mouth on the right side, and rip his nose on the right side, and rip his eye on the right side, and then he will go to the left side and do the same thing. And by the time he's finished ripping the left side, the right side has mended, and he will start again. Any of the punishment will be reoccurring, the same punishment over and over. Just whenever he thought maybe he's finished, then it will be mended, and it will start again. And it will start again. And Allah, He mentioned the likes of this likewise in Surah An-Nisa. In Surah An-Nisa, what did Allah say? كُلَّمَا نَذِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَهَا جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيُذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ أَحْسَنْتَ. That every time, any that they'll be burning in the hellfire until their skins are finished, until the skin is finished, until it goes away, and then Allah will replace the skin again, new skin, so that it can be punished again. And this is also from the amazing affairs that we see that modern medicine has mentioned today. And we believe without these modern facts, but this is from that which is mentioned that would increase a believer in faith, that the skin has layers, and after it's burned through so many layers, the pain goes away and he will not feel pain anymore. And the skin, it has certain layers, and after those, some layers are gone and the nerves are finished, then he will not feel pain there anymore. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned that بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا, we will exchange for them new skin, لِيُذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so they can taste the punishment. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, so they can taste the punishment. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, so that maybe he would think, oh, my skin's gone, I can't feel it no more. No, it'll come back. It will come back and it will continue in this manner. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something that is very serious. We cannot bear the fire. We cannot bear the punishment of Allah. We cannot bear the anger of Allah. This life is going to go away. Our souls are going to leave our bodies. They will either leave in a manner that is peaceful, or they're going to leave in a manner that is violent. And this is what Allah has promised the people. So this is something to keep in mind, yani with regards to our life, that we have souls. And the human being is so weak. The human being and the human body is so weak. These blessings that we have, our eyes, our ears, these instruments that are blessings, they're so weak. One small thing comes in the eye, you're not seeing anymore. One little thing could happen to the ear. May Allah give us and our family and the believers good health. But one thing could happen and you will not hear again. A person will not hear again. Or the life, the body is so weak. The human being is so weak that all that has to happen is for a soul to leave. If he's from the people of paradise, those who perform the trust to the best of their ability, then he will be in paradise. And if he is not, then he will face any other than that. What do you other be left? So then after this, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, ثُمَّ قَالَ أَصَّلَاتُ أَمَانَةً وَالْوُضُوءُ أَمَانَةً وَالْوَزْنُ أَمَانَةً وَالْكَيْلُ أَمَانَةً وَعَدَّدَ أَشْيَاءً وَأَشَدُّ ذَلِكَ الْوَدَاعِعِ قَالَ فَأَتَيْتُ الْبَرَاءَ فقلت ألا ترى إلى ما قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال كذا وكذا قال صدق أما سمعت الله تعالى يقول إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. So now he says, after mentioning this affair in the hereafter, he said that indeed the prayer, the salat is an amana, and the wudu is an amana, and the wazn and the kail, any the measurements in buying and trading is an amana. And he mentioned a number of things. And again, these are all just examples. It's not limited to these affairs. These are all examples, any of the amana. And he said, and the most severe of them are the wada'i. The wada'i is the things that are left in deposit with somebody. So the valuables and the likes and the personal property that somebody would leave with somebody else and entrust them to him for him to take care of them for him. And then he says, one of the narrators, he mentioned his name is Zadan. He says that I went to Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, do you not hear what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is saying radiallahu anhu? And he mentioned that this and that. He told him the narration. So al-Bara radiallahu anhu, he says, sadaqah. He said, he's telling the truth. Did you not hear what Allah Azza wa Jalla has said? And he mentioned the verse here that the author he has mentioned, "Inna Allaha ya'murukum," that indeed Allah commands you, "an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha," that you render back the trust to those whom deserve it, to those whom deserve it. So the author, he mentioned this narration here as an interpretation of this verse. And the second verse is clarifying that the amana likewise, yani, is including the covenant that one has with Allah Azza wa Jal, fulfilling all of the moral rights and responsibilities, and being honest and truthful, and fulfilling the trust and the obligations of the religion, performing those commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. The author, he says, قَالَ زَيْدُ ibn Aslam. Zayd ibn Aslam is from the Tabi'een. Rahimahullah ta'ala. قَالَ هِيَ السَّوْمُ وَالْغُسْلُ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ وَمَخَافِيَ مِنَ الشَّرَائِعِ. That the amana, it is fasting, and it is bathing from the janaba, any of the sexual impurity, and likewise that which is hidden or unapparent from the sacred rites of al-Islam, from the sacred rites of al-Islam. And this is an example of that. Again, these are some of those examples. So all of this is from the amana. All of these affairs are from the amana. They must be performed. They must not be betrayed. They must not be violated. Allah, he mentioned in those verses in Surah Al-Anfal with regards to the amana and the prohibition of betraying that. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Who remembers the verses? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. أحسنت. جزاك الله خيرا. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Oh, you who believe, do not betray Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not betray the trust while you know. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. And know that your wealth and your property is a fitna. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And that Allah Azza wa Jal with him is a great reward. So the mention of the fact that the wealth and the children is a fitna and a trial after this affair is an indication that one, he must fear Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to his wealth specifically, and that this is something that is likewise considered that amana, and the wealth could be a reason for a person to violate that trust and to act in a manner of treachery. And likewise, his children are an amana. His children are an amana, and this could be a reason likewise, the children, for a person to violate that trust and to act in a manner of treachery. From the greatest amana with regards to the children is to preserve their fitrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kullu mauludun yuladu ala al-fitrah." Kullu mauludun yuladu ala al-fitrah. That every child is born upon the fitrah, born upon the natural disposition to accept the truth, to believe in al-Islam, and to follow the way of tawheed, to accept the fact that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the fitrah that is inside every child. It's incumbent for every parent to cultivate that and to not ruin that, and to not corrupt that, and to not violate that, and to not taint that or stain that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wa al-abawani yuhawidanihi aw yunasiranihi aw yumajisanihi." It's the parents. They're the ones who corrupt the fitrah. They're the ones who cause the child to believe in Christianity or in Judaism or in other religions and the likes like this, from the religions of falsehood. So this is something that is very, very serious, that the children, they're an amana. It's an amana that we cultivate them and we raise them upon al-Islam, and that we teach them about tawheed, and we clarify for them the truthfulness of this deen, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, alone with no partners. And we clarify for them likewise and raise them upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a great amana that we have been entrusted with regards to the children. So after mentioning the prohibition and the warning and the threat from betraying Allah Azza wa Jal, and from betraying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then betraying the trust, then Allah, He mentions, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. And you must know, and you have no doubt, that your wealth and your property and your wealth and your children, this is a trial and a test, and that you're going to be held accountable that you're going to be held accountable before Allah with regards to. You're going to be asked about that. You're going to be responsible for that. That what you do with your wealth, where you get it and how you spend it, you're going to be held accountable for this. This is from the Amanah. Do not betray Allah. Do not betray the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not betray the trust. Likewise your children. Your children is a trust from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a favor and a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. You're going to be held accountable for that. You're going to be held accountable for his upbringing, for teaching him and raising him, and helping him and guiding him, and the likes like this, especially in the early years, making the effort that you can to plant the seed of Tawheed and cultivate that in his heart. And likewise, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and teaching him his way, teaching him the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he will be able to deal with life upon guidance, upon light, upon a good path. This is a trust here. This is a trust here. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. So the fitna sometimes is very hard to deal with, and it's heavy, but it determines and differentiates between those who are truthful and those who are liars, and those who are strong and those who are weak. And Allah, he says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And know likewise that Allah with him is a great reward. So if you strive against your soul to fulfill that trust, and to stay away from and avoid betraying Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your wealth and your children specifically, and your wealth and your children specifically, and likewise, and the rest of the affairs, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has a great reward for you. He has a great reward for you. And then after that, Allah, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, again, O you who believe, in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, wallahu dhul fadl azim. O you who believe, if you fear Allah, if you obey Allah and uphold that trust, then Allah, he will grant you a furqan. Yani the ability to distinguish between that which is good and that which is bad, and that which is upright and noble and wholesome, and that which is foul and evil and wicked, and that which is considered guidance, and that which is considered desires and whims and misguidance. يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانَ إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانَ. Yani a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you fear him, if you believe in him and obey him, and strive to fulfill those trusts properly, and to bear that in the best manner, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant you a criterion. He will grant you any bit insight and beneficial knowledge and success. You need to have determination to apply that and abide by that. All of this is from the beautiful affairs related to the issue of the amanah. All of these verses, they're in different chapters in the book of Allah, but they all are on the same topic. Inna Allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. Then indeed Allah, he orders you to render the trust back to those who deserve it, back to his people, any of those who they belong to. Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan innahu kana zaluman jahula. Then indeed we have presented this trust here to the heavens and the earth and to the mountains, and they declined to bear that, and they were in pity and in fear from the result of that, any the outcome of that. If they do not fulfill that, they violated that, they know the gravity of that and the danger with regards to that. Muhammad had insan, and indeed the human being, he had bore that, taken on that amanah, and taken on that trust. The human being is very oppressive to his own soul, and likewise ignorant of the outcome of this affair and the dangers of this affair. And Allah, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, you believe. لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. O you who believe, do not betray Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and betray your trust while you know. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. And know that your wealth and your children is nothing but a trial and a test. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And that Allah with him is a great reward. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. Again Allah, he calls, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you fear Allah, if you fear Allah truthfully, he will grant you a criterion, any insight and understanding and success in the religion to be upright, to be upright. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And he will forgive you your sins. And he will forgive you your sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And indeed Allah, he is the one who has great and tremendous grace and mercy. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal from his grace and mercy to make us from those who benefit from the knowledge, and to make a knowledge a light and a proof for us and not against us. Innahu Jawadun Kareem. And just a reminder, inshallah, we continue in this work in the morning after Fajr bi'ithni lahi ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.